This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, Georgie, check for Dadsy. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery free and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It's the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes post-match phone-in on X or Twitter or whatever it's called these days.
Let's get across to Alex King, then we're coming to Alan, then we're coming to Uncle Ron, then we're going to Kevin Jackson, guys, so do hold on for us if you will. Alex, how are you doing?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
All right, thank you. All right, we're just picking over the post-mortem and obviously the final goal of the day. What did you make of things overall?
Where do you start? Just background noise, by the way, Peter. I do apologise. Yeah, I thought it was a good performance. Obviously, it was. I thought the first two goals were quite pathetic, in all honesty, in terms of defensively. I mentioned it earlier, I think to yourself even, we were good in the back five and then switched to a back four all of a sudden. I didn't really understand that, to be honest with you. Which you're pointing. Obviously, Kafinga in a minute. Like I say, I'll probably go on to them in a minute, but I brought some friends over from Michigan. I was having a scrap with Carl about who's the US ambassador for Watford.
I like this.
But yeah, so I was over from Michigan and they saw us concede in about 8 seconds. And I turned to them and went, well, this is the Watford that we love and follow all the time. But yeah, I think it's good. I think in terms of giving Cleverly the job, I don't want to do is almost tarnish himself, if that makes sense. And if we get 6 months down the line and we want him out, he's like a bit of a club legend for me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Just so been I'm saying all, exactly
always,
that. Yeah,
I'm always slightly hesitant. And I don't know if you can ask me some questions, Peter. Firstly, it was in the 98th minute, wasn't it?
It was 98th minute and about 7 seconds.
Was it a corner?
Let's go with Wendover here, who was there and had a commanding view and said, no way.
So I didn't think it was a corner. So I don't know if Wendover agrees, but I feel like it was on the back stick and I feel like a Southampton player has like shouldered it or like it's gone out of play. I mean, I was so shocked when it was given as a corner. And then the last one as well, was it a handball at the end?
I haven't seen the replay as yet because the game finishes and I came straight back up here. But the reports have been basically, because I know that the ref is getting a lot of stick, and as one would imagine with this, was the fact that some people have said that Rajovic was making it was a silly challenge to make, but the other comments are that he was the one actually being fouled. I must confess, when I saw him do it, make the challenge, I was sitting there going, well done for doing it, because I thought he had to be a bit physically robust because it was being given one way and not the other. So there was a series of events that kind of that led to it, where we've got, shall we say, reason for complaint, but obviously we have no VAR to appeal to, so it's pretty much of a done deal now. But yeah, I think we can lick our wounds about it.
Well, no, like I say, I just under Ishmael.
Alex, are you there?
No, I could hear him, but he's dropped off, Pete.
He's been dropping out there. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, never mind. Alex, we will catch you very soon. Let's get across to Mr. Alan Lathwell, then we're coming to Uncle John, then to Kev. But we can always break down every single goal we score, or rather concede, and I'm sure the opposition can do a pretty damn fine job of doing it when we score one as well. It comes down to the goal scored. Did the referee have a good one? Did the referee have a bad one? Who knows? But let's go and talk to Mr. Alan Lathwell and see what he thinks of today's proceedings and whether or not he was watching the game or if he was partaking in some non-league. Alan, sir, how are you doing?
I'm all right,
yeah? Good. Yeah. It was a roller coaster of a game. It was deeply engaging, as the majority of games, excluding Preston North End, have been under Tom. But obviously we came out of it on the wrong end of that last hurrah for the game, and it sets the season up very nicely or for the top of the table. But for us, obviously, does it make a difference between finishing 13th and 14th overall? Maybe. Is that really a big thing? Maybe not. But we're Watford fans. We're interested in that. How did you see things today? Where did you see things today?
Well, I didn't, because I was watching my local non-league team, Harborough Town, who won 5-0 in the Northern Premier League Midland Division at home in front of 340 people. So that was my afternoon's entertainment.
Nice.
In terms of Watford, I think you mentioned the roller coaster. Well, for quite a long period, the roller coaster has been just a downhill at some considerable speed. And today started off as bad as it could have got. And to find ourselves 2 down after 20, and you think this could get away from us here and could be quite an ugly afternoon, to be honest. Having not obviously seen the game, but seen the stats and obviously the fact that we clawed back to 2, unless I'm wrong on this, it looks very much like we came back into the game and actually were the more dominant side for much of the game after we got back into the game through Ryan Porteous. So I think encouraging from the point of view that there was the players didn't allow the early setbacks to get to them and actually showed some spirit to come back into the game. And that's really good. And I'm not so sure we would have seen that under Ishmael, to be honest.
There was certainly spirit shown and the team trying to pull themselves into the game. There's no doubting about, I think, that. And as I think it was Greg or Rich, both commented and said, they are trying to play for him. They are doing what they can. Obviously, we can talk about the depth of the squad or the quality of the squad when we get to the end of the season, etc., even more so. But I don't think there's any lack of that. I think it was very nearly a triumphant 2-2, if such a thing is possible. It's just a sucker punch.
It is. And in the context of the season, it doesn't mean a lot. I feel a bit for the players who've worked hard to get back to a situation where it looks like they're going to take a very good point away from home. And I feel for the fans that have travelled a long way to have that sucker punch. But a few things on this, just on the time allowed. I do get immensely frustrated when people complain about the amount of time a referee allows at the end of the game. It's the same for both teams. So whether there's 3 minutes additional time played, whether it's 8, 10, 15, I don't give a fuck really. It's the same amount of time for both teams. So it's within our gift to make sure we either defend resolutely or we seize the opportunity to go and get a goal at the other end. And the fact is that today we were on the wrong end of a fifth goal in the game. And that just happens, okay? So I just find it tiresome. And it's not just Watford fans. It's a lot of football fans that start moaning about extra time. Engage your brains. It's the same amount of time for both teams, bottom line. And it's how the teams manage it.
Charlie said earlier on, if we'd have scored in the 7th minute or the 8th minute of extra time, we wouldn't have been complaining, quite right.
No, absolutely. Absolutely that. With regards to Tom, I get the feeling, Bournemouth should have just had a third. I get the, I'm just watching that as well.
You've got that feeling about Bournemouth and their third. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I get the feeling with regards to Tom, I think he's done quite well. I said a couple of weeks ago about, well, there's no rush to appoint him, and I still stand by that. But I actually now have the view that he's done well enough that, in my opinion, if he doesn't get the job at Watford, I wouldn't be surprised if he does get a job somewhere in the summer. So if we are at the end of this season looking at it and saying, well, actually, his audition has been a positive one and we would consider him a candidate for the job, I see no reason to hold back on that if we go that route, because I really believe, listening to a couple of things that he said during the week, I think he's got the taste for it now. And I think it'd be very difficult for him, if he didn't get the job on a permanent basis, to go back to coaching the under-18s, etc. So ultimately, and I heard somebody say before, I'm not sure who it was, about being concerned about if he gets the job and potentially tarnishing his history with the club. I don't think that's likely, to be honest, because I don't think anybody's tarnished by taking the Watford job in terms of their future coaching careers, because it's such a basket case of a club. So ultimately, if the club decide they want to go down that route and Tom's the man, then I see no reason not to do it if that's their decision, because if we don't, I'm pretty certain somebody in the Championship or League One will look at what he's done so far and say, you know what, he's the man for us. I would, in a way, be really sorry to see a situation where somebody that's spent so much of their career at the club in one shape or another, who has so much to offer, were to leave and somebody else benefit elsewhere. That would be my concern.
Fantastic. That echoes Rich's comment on the first call, and also Charlie made pretty much the same observation the fact that he's having an audition and now leaning towards him saying, well, yeah, do that. And I think it was Rich said somebody else might come in for him, exactly as your point is there. He has been singularly impressive with how he presents himself, how he presents the club when he's doing so. And obviously we know we were a sucker punch away from having yet another unbeaten game. Of course it went against us, but you know what? We're always going to lose games at some point. We're a football club. That's going to be what happens.
And I think we're almost at the stage where if we'd actually got away with the draw and another 2-2, that we'd actually have to start seriously considering renaming in Desmond Cleverley. but yeah, maybe he made a mistake with the way he set the team up from the beginning today. Again, he's 34 years of age. He's half a dozen games into the job. I'd rather he make those mistakes now than further down the line. So we just have to see what happens. And another thing, I've got a funny feeling what I'm about to say is probably, I'm going to steal Ron's thunder on this. I've got a sense, but it was really alarming this week to see the amount we've spent on agents' fees in relation to the amount we've spent on transfers and wages in general coming into the club. Fundamentally, that's just, it's another example of just total mismanagement of the, we're a small club with a relatively small budget, and to be wasting money with the way we seem to be wasting it on agents' fees is just quite alarming, really. I don't know what your thoughts are on that. I haven't really seen too many comments from others on it. I've not really been that close to it this week. But on hearing that news, I'd just be interested to see what you think on that, to be honest, Pete.
Well, when we did the Palacigino stuff last time, we did ask the same question, which was around the amount of what value do we get? I think it was Scott Duxbury rather than Gino Potts replied and said, what you have to factor in is if all that money we get £20 million worth of talent, then it's a positive. And I think that's a reasonable paraphrasing of what was said. I think the issues are, and it links to another question, which I asked about Ben Manga at the time, because of course he'd been bought in. And I said, well, why have you bought Ben Manga in? What area of our technical operations does he actually fulfill that wasn't previously being fulfilled? Because if you've got a technical director and they're there to do these things, they should be negotiating contracts. You've also got Scott Duxbury, who is a lawyer by practice and by qualification.
Only is his day job.
Well, my question is, when we have then sold on players who were, for example, from memory here, William Troostekong, Saar, and there was one other which escapes me, it'll come to me at some point, a certain Arno Byatt, otherwise known as Moji Byatt, was there representing the club.
Was Kamara another one?
No, I don't think it was, because that was bought in to go into the accounts. In fairness, this runs from February 23 to February 24. It's not linked to the accounting statements, in fairness, but I don't think it was. So my question is, if you have got somebody who is a lawyer, a CEO, and you have got a technical director in, you can take your pick here. You could choose Manga, you could have chosen Giuretta, and of course now we've got Nani. Why in the name of buggery are we paying Moji Byatt to represent the club as an agent when we are selling players? Now, that and the other agents' fees, if somebody's representing the player in that particular instance, here he was representing us as the selling club. And you've got to go, why? That's taking money. And we've seen across all of those transactions, it was about 4,400,000, something in those regions, 4.5 million, something like that. And I would like to understand, what is it that stops the club actually fulfilling this themselves rather than paying a third party to do that? So you can question whether or not the quality of the players now provide us more value than we have paid, and that's going to be a fairly subjective assessment. I think people have said that this is a poor squad in comparison to those that we have previously enjoyed under the Pozzo era, and I think that's a reasonable assessment. I don't think that's
I don't think that's in dispute, is it?
You
only have to go back to 2018-2019, which was our best side during the Pozzo era, to realise, and the quality that we had back then compared to what we have now.
Exactly. So you have to then question, is £4.5 million or there or thereabouts, do we now have value for that? Or is it a question, as per the band James with their brilliant single Sit Down, where they said, if I hadn't seen such riches, I could live with being poor. Have our expectation risen up? Yes, absolutely. But what we know is that money is not, there isn't a great deal of it. And when we're looking at what kind of £57 million for our turnover, paying £4 million of that out on agents' fees rather than trying to keep it in-house, is that actually necessary? Or could we do something, as basically what 90%, maybe 80%, should we say, of the Championship have been able to do it for less? That might be something to ask at some future time. And I'm sure Andrew French at the Watford Observer will query that to try and gain some kind of response. But anyway,
Just one last thing before we go. Now, the last home win we had in the league was Norwich, if I remember correctly, yes, which I couldn't get to. And because of other football commitments, I can't get to the whole game next Saturday. So I'm going to say now that we'll win next Saturday.
You're sacrificing your own attendance in order to make sure that you're repeating the Norwich result.
That's exactly what I'm doing. I have the utmost confidence that next week we will get the points against Hull.
Done. There's Alan, everybody, sacrificing himself so that we don't lose to Hull. Lovely stuff. Thank you very much indeed, Alan. Let's get to Uncle Ron and find out whether indeed you have stolen his thunder, or if we've talked too much about agents already. Let's get to Uncle Ron, and then we'll be coming to Kevin Jackson. Five words, haikus, limericks, and whatever else is there. Uncle, sir, how you doing?
I'm on the road on the supposed expressway. Not very express. So, Justin.
Hello, Ron. How are you?
Hello. Well, not great. I'm Wendover. I like him, but I've got to be very careful with my words. What he said was possibly lying, actually. He's making out. First of all, I think Wendover is lying because he said it doesn't matter about Ngakia. Well, it does. It really does matter, because Porteous had to play at right back today because Ryan Andrews had a knock. He's been in very poor form. He's a young player. Doesn't mean that we can't point out that he's been in very poor form. But the other right back at the club is injured again. The other right back at the club has played 78 games in 4.5 years and has been unavailable for most of this season. So him getting a new contract does matter. And Wendover claiming that this is, he said on Twitter that it's something like £5 a week, or that it's pay as you play. I'm sorry, he's lying. He hasn't seen the contract. If he's seen it, then I will apologize. But he hasn't. So to make that excuse, to make something up, is wicked. It's actually a little bit wicked. Furthermore, the club are wicked. They're a cesspit, because Adam Leventhal, a few months ago, put an article out that Ngakia had been given a 4-year contract. There was no announcement for the club. Lou Orns this week found on the FA website there'd been a contract renegotiation for Ngakia. So why won't the club tell their own supporters whether a player has had their contract extended or not? It's wicked, and it does matter, because we didn't have a proper right-back playing today. That's one point.
Can I just jump in on that? Because thank you, mate. I think it's, and first of all, I'll just repeat the thing, which is always, guys, don't worry about what anybody else's opinion is. Come on and tell us what your opinion is. You've stated there, and you have used the phrase lying, which I think is a little strong. So I've gone to the Twitter exchange between yourself and Wendover. Everybody else is going, really, do we have to do this? But yes, I'm sorry. And where he said, so at any salary, even £500 a week, for example, with a bonus for appearances, he's not worth having. He hasn't actually said he's on £500. he's given it as, and he literally uses the word, for example. I appreciate you're in the midst of everything, and you've gone back and said...
He said today he's on a minimal salary on your own space.
I think he did say that.
He said it today in his own words on your space.
And that's fine. The point was you made the comment about £500. I wanted to get to that particular one because I think it was just given as a for instance. And you did it. You do respond to him in the Twitter thread that you're referring to, which isn't the conversation we had here. And you said, and I know it's not 500 quid a week. And so you've already had that, but I wanted to make sure that we give the onus there.
Sure.
His point was that people don't know what it is and that therefore that we're having an opinion on it. I agree with your comment, and I made the comment earlier on, that whatever the money was, having somebody who is not available was effectively the reason why, as Greg said, well, he had to change to it because he didn't have a fit right back. And that point was made. And we did talk about whether or not we had enough time to move to a different shape, maybe. Who knows? It's all whys and wherefores. I do apologize. I just wanted to come in and talk about that 500 quid week point because it was a for instance. That was all. I will move back and let you carry on, sir.
Sure. Well, he said pay as you play today. He's not privy to that, Peter. He's not. Fact. He's not privy to that. If he's been told that, it's not possible unless he's seen the contract.
Well, I certainly haven't seen any contract for anybody else. It would be employment pay show that. Absolutely.
Back again, lost us the game, and I put a tweet out, and people aren't going to like this either. I called him a bastard again, and by all accounts, and many people on Twitter said at the end of the game, he was laughing with the goal scorer of Southampton's winning goal. So if he has done that, then he is a bastard. And I'll stand by that, and I'll say that every day of the week. And regarding Cleverley, he's won one game out of six. That's fact. And I'd have one test of him. If I had the opportunity to replace Daniel Backman as goalkeeper, would you take it? And if he said, no, I like Daniel Backman, then I wouldn't keep him as manager. That would be my first test of Clev. But he's won one game in six. He's not done anything terrible. I'm not saying he should be sacked. Really, one game in six. It's nothing to be celebrated. But really, the big problem is the owner. And he's hoodwinked people. And Greg, I like him. But perhaps he's suffering from Stockholm syndrome. That's all I can see as what's happening. And it's very boring to hear about us being a small club and said we've had fillet steak. Well, it doesn't mean you should be grateful for cat food now.
The difference between cat food and I think we were talking Aldi beef burger. You can, there will be people who may suggest that the differentiation is a small level of DNA. Look, the idea is let's talk about what you think rather than what you think about somebody else thinks for both sides. It's not really, we appreciate that there will be differences of opinion on all of this. In terms of that, I sit somewhere between the pair of you in terms of Ngakia on, I think I had been the one to suggest that I would imagine that we would see a reduction in his basic and a variable payment because that would be a reasonable response if we were going to keep him. But the availability is becoming, it has become an issue where we have had to depend upon a very young lad who's had a standout season. I appreciate he's not been perfect by any means, but that's neither here nor there. And that today we did see a change in shape that was potentially forced upon the manager and the management team because of what we had. Now, the question about whether or not Albert Eames could come in becomes a bit of a mute point, really. It's a question of if he's going to add value for money, there's only one place he can do that, and that's on the pitch. So if he's not on the pitch, that's not what he can do. I agree with you in terms of the fact that, as you say, he's won one game in six. Previously, we had won, I think it was, one game in 10? Now, we're talking at fractions here. I think for me, the football that we've played and the differences that we've seen in the team have impressed. Is there a manager, do you think, that could do more with the squad that we have? I saw the Lincoln manager mentioned as one to consider, and we'd spoken to Leeds about him, and he's very well considered. Have you looked at Michael Zubaka, is it his name?
Yes, I mentioned him. He seems very interesting. It's impossible to answer that. Would someone do better? Because we don't know. It's cleverly there. He hasn't done badly. It's very difficult. But just because he hasn't done badly and he's done quite well, it doesn't mean he should be given the job. And as I said, and that's very seriously, if I was interviewing him, you have to know it is, would you want to keep Daniel Bank? Would you want to keep, say, Jamal Lewis? Would you want to keep Ngakia at the club? So we don't know the answers to that.
Interesting. Obviously, the people who would be doing the interviewing would be the people who we believe have given, well, we know that they've given Dan Backman a contract, and we suspect very strongly, according to the evidence, that it looks like Ngakia has been given a contract. And I don't think in these day and age that actually finding out a little bit about this doesn't hurt. So I think it's reasonable to ask. And these things are increasingly now transparent through things such as the FA element, because if it involves agents, and we know obviously of a particular agent that makes everybody's ears prick up, we know that there is an interest there. There is a question, and there is suspicion in Belgium. There is a court case still going on. So it's worth examining and having a look and seeing what is what. Lovely stuff, Uncle Sir. Have a great weekend.
Hi, this is Johnny Phillips, and you're listening to the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So let's get across to Kevin, who's been waiting for an awful long time, and then we'll get on to the five words and see how things go from there. Let's see if we can get north of the border to our Scottish ambassador, Kev. So how are you doing?
I'm fine. Yourself?
Yeah, all right. We've been bickering over the post-mortem and whether or not it is or isn't the referee, and I'm sure opinions will differ, as they always do.
Yeah, I can't add any insight into that because I was watching the real Saints, not the fake Saints. Day, so I've been up to St George.
And how did the real Saints get on?
They lost 2-0 at home to Kilmarnock, so they're really in the doo-doos.
Ooh, yes, because you're just sitting above the, I think the doo-doos is the appropriate phrase.
Yeah, well, Livingston lost, so it looks like automatic relegation might be avoided, but the playoffs is still a... But I was inspired to go. Here we have a Friday night TV program, football TV program called A View from the Terrace. And it's truly brilliant. It's inclusive of all levels, all sorts of football. It's brilliant. They had a conversation about the bottom of the Premier League in Scotland, saying, well, the teams at the bottom are the teams at the bottom because they're the ones with the lowest attendance. The fact that when you've not got Premier League TV money, then the teams that do well are the ones with the big attendances because they've got the money, and the teams with the low attendances do less well. So I thought, yeah, that's absolutely right. I need to get off my arse and get to McDermott Park. So that was why I went, and it has some parallels with Watford as well. You look at the capacities and the attendances of Watford are mid-table at best. And so we've got to be realistic about this. Yeah, so that was my reason. The thing that made me call in was just people saying, well, maybe we should have VAR. So VAR in Scotland is absolutely diabolical. It was introduced midway through last. It's only in the Premier League. I was speaking to somebody in the tea room before the game today, and they were saying, I might renew my season ticket, but only if we get relegated. Just can't stand VAR anymore. And it's hideous. It gets as many decisions wrong in review as they do on the field in Scottish referee, and it solved nothing. So that's my counsel for the day. For what you wish for.
I will agree with you all day and twice on Saturdays about VAR. I think it's a horrible thing to see a goal scored and then everybody, and we all did it, we all went, is it really? Now we need to go and make sure that somebody in Stockley Park says it's okay for us to celebrate. And it just kills the passion of the game. And it's one of the things that I've loved in the Championship. I can understand why Greg is sitting there going, well, if we're in the Premiership and they've got Southampton is a Premiership ground, it's got the facilities, why can't we use it? Of course, if it goes the other way, then we would probably have said, well, yeah, no, you don't have VAR in the Championship. There's a certain level of obviously wishing that that last goal had been picked up on the number of different instances where we feel that there were cause for mitigation, shall we say, both in the foul, Was it a corner? And then was there a handball in it? All of it. Of course, we're feeling like it's come and pinched us. It's one of those. That's football, isn't it? But there we go. There we go. Thank you, Kev. Lovely to hear from you, sir. And we look forward to tracking how St. Johnstone do for the rest of the season. I'm going to get onto the five-word reviews now, see what everybody has. Now, we just heard Uncle Ron just a moment ago, and he says Backman ruins it yet again in terms of that, as one would have expected him to have said so. Carb said gutting to lose like that. Alan Lathwell, what for Twitter, a roller coaster again? Yes, I use the phrase roller coaster because at the start of that, we did seem to be, well, a little bit all over the place. And then it slowly grew into, and whether or not it was familiarity with the shape or just everything calming down, or maybe Southampton stepping back and thinking we're 2-0 up, maybe giving us a space to go into the game. But it felt like we got in and we, that second goal equalizing, we're thinking, wow, we've got it. And then it dips sharply and literally falls off a cliff in terms of enjoyment at the end. But that's football. That's what we'll remember at some point. 8 minutes, I'm a stud, says Peter Joyless Jones. Don't think he approved of that. Nope, too angry, says Louis Teixeira. Carl Campion said, who wants to draw anyway? Jason Rose says, Saints provide their own referee. I think we're getting to the nub of this. Latisse paid the ref, says Anthony Coleman Packer. Hey, Anthony, thank you for dropping a note. Hampshire Hornet says, can Modgy lend us a fiver? I think I saw something somewhere his accounts were published, and I think he had something like 4 million turnover, but that wasn't all in, it wasn't all from us, I don't presume, because there was 4 million and it was divided up over about 11 transactions, and there was a whole host of others, so I'm sure they've all taken money out of it. Not that I'm calling football agents parasitic leeches or anything, but if I were, I wouldn't be far from the truth. Ryan Cripp says, gutted to lose that. Felt we were the better side. A bad day at the office. On to Hull at home next weekend, when I'm looking forward to attending and seeing you, Pete, down the bunker with the younger brother, Jamie. More Cripses. My God, I like that. That sounds very good. Ben joins us. He says, KMB bossing another game. I thought KMB was outstanding in that game in the middle because he needed to be. And he also says, Subnet, ref was a C, what's that, asterisk T, can't. That's probably what it was. Yeah, definitely. Ref was a fucking disgrace, says Dave Lavender, probably echoing the points that Ben made earlier. Tom Hagen says, cheating fucks deserve to stay down. Pete, my sincerest apologies for using six words, but some things just need to be said. Tom, you're perfectly welcome. That's Tom Hagen, everybody. Hornet Haikus. Well, buggery me. Embarrassment for the ref. Good signs for Clevs. Yeah, I think people are picking out some positives in this. We heard from Uncle saying, well, actually, it's also only one win in six. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe different sides of the same coin. Swings, roundabouts, etc. Morris energy level less than Lewis, says Alan. Oh, no, bigger than Lewis. I had to apologise. He's got that there. Yes, you're quite right. I thought when Morris came on, I thought when we switched to having an actual right back, I thought we looked a little bit better in there. No bad thing about Pollock when I say about that at all. Started poorly and ended poorly, says Carl Campion. Pete Ryan says, ref sees things nobody else does for free kicks. Doesn't see things everybody else does for goals. Yeah, absolutely. Dan Backman is a clown, says Brian Edwards. Payback for Decore's handball, says Gary Short. Gary, yeah, that's a good point. I like that. That's a fair play. If you do recall, this would have been in, let me think, this would have been in the Marco Silva season, but I don't know if Marco Silva was still in charge, where they were one up and in the last minute, Duke's got a kind of a hand of God goal, if you will. Onwards and upwards with Clev, says Pidge. Hey, Pidge, hope you well. An unlucky Desmond 3-2, says John Parslow. WFC chef says, Aldi cat food, you in? Oh, Justin, you're chef, well done. His WFC chef knows about food, knows about cat food, knows what he speaks of. Jack says, ref needs sacking almost immediately. Rob C. Index Jesus says, good performance, hard done by. Sean Pugh, well, we didn't deserve that, he says. TJ2626 says, Uncle Ron celebrated that goal. The last one. Yeah, maybe, who knows. Wes Hoot cannot defend, says Juve. Juve WFC. Danka says, no way time for corner. Tony says 3-2 to the referee. Where did 9 minutes of injury time come from? Well, they said it was seven, but we've heard from Alan in terms of that. The question I will ask Alan next time, or I will go and try and find out, is, as Greg said, Wendover said, yes, there were lots of substitutions, but they all happened in multiples. We had three subs come on. I think they did something similar. Is it the number of subs who come on, or is it the instances of substitutions? It would make sense for it to be the instance of substitutions. Who knows? Give Tom Cleverley the job, says Josh. That's good. Yellow says, refereeing cost us today. Same shit. And then somebody from IPT services tried to sell us kind of fire sticks and stuff. There you go. Right, let's get into the long form, see what everybody is saying. Oh, we got a few of those. Right, here we go. Brian Edwards says, seriously don't think we are punching above our weight. We've had serious investment in the squad and club, so should be performing at a higher level than we are. Okay, so that was part of the debate earlier on. Are we fighting above our level? Well, you could talk about our traditional level and where we have been versus the financial investment and where we are. There's a number of ways to cut and slice and dice it. Probably the most common one, though, would be our historical position. I think it is normally that. And also, you would probably also compare it to our kind of crowd level. That's maybe another one to potentially take a look at, even though crowd level has become increasingly less relevant because of TV revenues. Simon Parkin says, being anti-ownership does not automatically mean that you don't support the team. It's not just a binary issue. Everyone is entitled to their opinion. Yeah, no, I agree with that, Simon. There are questions to ask of the club at all times. It requires constant monitoring. And I think everybody who loves and cares about it will look at different things in different ways and may share opinions on some things and counter on others. That's perfectly fine. At least it should be, in my view anyway. If Watford won every week, this is from Carl Campion, there would still be unhappy supporters moaning about the style of play, the noise level in the Vic, the defensive midfielder's haircut. Well, in fairness, have you looked at Tom? Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. The cost of a sausage roll. That's ridiculous. The cost of a sausage roll. All I'm saying is it's one thing outside of the ground at Wenzel's and it's another thing. I'm proving your point here, aren't I? Is Watford surviving in the Premier League overreaching or where we should be? It's a good question. I think we may have to do some things in the summer when we're all bored of whatever international tournament is numbing my senses at the time and find out where we all think that should be. Gary says, pretty sure we remember this handball. He's got another picture of Dukes. Lots of people being very balanced about this and understanding sometimes it is swings and roundabouts. What you gain on the swings, you lose on the roundabouts. Uncle Ron saying, we can hear. That was when I was having problems earlier on. Apologies as always. Is Kev from Scotland in a microwave? Asks Alan Lathwell. I certainly hope not. But if he was, I hope he was eating up a sausage roll at the same time, which costs... Oh, no, I won't go on about sausage rolls anymore. Wendover grateful for dog food now, says Uncle Ron. No, he didn't say that. He said we got Aldi hamburgers. Apologies, I dropped off, says John Parslow. What? Really? Had been up on the common with Bailey, so was just coming back. Couldn't quite get on in time for the bird song due to all the ranting before. Basically, I'm happy despite the defeat. I can see a lot to be joyful about. Nice. And he says Skull to Rich WFC too, because of course he's been in Norway. Is Skull, is that Norwegian or Swedish for cheers? I can't remember which. Let's have a look. Alan Lathwell says, because someone has a different opinion to you doesn't make them a liar, Ron. In the same way Wendover doesn't know the terms of Ngakia's, neither do you. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Being eloquent is different to being intelligent. Guys, we can disagree with people. I agree. And that's why I jumped in on the liar point, because I didn't think that the £500 comment was accurate to the previous one that was there. But people, when they're talking about tweets, they might say it and give a certain different impression, which is why I wanted to bring that one back in as well. Absolutely spot on with everything Horn Wendover says, John, and magnificent support from you and all the faithful at the game today. Loud and clear what you thought of today's performances in the same. Very good. Brian Edwards says, TC not happy with match officials. Andrew French's report in the WO. There you go, the wobbly obs. And Gary, you are so kind. He posts up a tweet from Andrew French. If you don't follow Andrew French, do follow him at Andrew, but the ooh is double O French, at Andrew French. Says, a clearly very angry TC after the game. No problem with genuine mistakes, but where did the extra 2 minutes after seven in stoppage time come from? Also disappointed officials didn't see the handball. Acknowledged very bad start, pleased with character. Okay, that's nice. That's nice. Those are various things we've been discussing today. Can't believe we lost that, says Louis Teixeira. Played better after a woeful first half hour. Poor goals to concede, but will be some positives to take. At least I hope that there will be when I calm down. So disappointing to concede so late on. Get this season done. Jesse Hornet says, I will repeat, I just love Rupert. There you go. Some people agree with people. Other people agree with other people. That's also perfectly fine. Ackman picked the worst time to get stuck on his goal line, says Hampshire Hornet. Yeah, if we're going to look at keeping, we all know that Dan has a tendency to move backwards or to stay on his line when more aerially dominant keepers will typically come out and deal with certain things. I don't think that was necessarily the case for the third goal from memory, but I need to see it again. He did well on Wednesday, and he's getting people looking at him today. I don't think the first two goals, I wouldn't put those down to him. Alan Lethwell said, did Ron slaughter Backman after the Ipswich game too? I doubt it. Well, no, he didn't. He didn't come on, but I don't think he did. Rich says, sorry, Greg, I know I'm a bit inebriated, but I thought I was fair. There we go. Everybody's having conversations with everybody else just through me. Mal comes on and says, few clubs have done the double over Watford this season. Got to keep Tom as manager. Gary Iron says, bloody cheats. That was definitely a handball. Tom Hagen, let's face it, we've had some awful managers over the past years. I'm sure we can agree Tom has better man management skills than Ivic, more loyalty than Hodgson, and more tactical nous than Sisko. Not sure it's a hard decision to give him the job. Lovely stuff, Tom. That's good. I wonder where Wendover saw the details of Ngakia's new £500 a week contract. That's what I mean about somebody says something on there when having a conversation saying, look, even if it was £500 plus variable, you wouldn't say that was bad value, would you? And then that gets taken inadvertently as stating that's a truth. That's not a truth. Therefore, you're not a liar for having said it, because you weren't. You were making a supposition. So I think that's important to clarify. Let's just not be quite so het up about everything here, if we can. Melanie WFC says, agree with Wendover 100%. There you go. Justin says, can someone slip some amlodipine into Greg's takeaway this evening? He's going to blow. He was, no, I love it. I love it. I love the fact that Greg comes on and Ron comes on and everyone in between. And he's passionate about it. It's our club. As I've said beforehand, oh God, many times, here he goes again, everybody. I've had a relationship with this football club far longer than I have had one with my wife and with my son. That's just the way it goes. It means a huge amount to people. That's why in this day and age, when there is technology that allows you to communicate and talk about it, we come together to share this. And sometimes it'll be in good social media, and other times it'll be up. It'll be ups and it'll be downs. And we've seen that communicated with from a couple of Watford fans here who have had enough about them to go, remember the Doucouré thing? Yeah, that would have bitten the other way, wouldn't it? Opinions are like arseholes, says Bombhead. I agree. I did say those words. I do apologise. Ollie, Harkness Ollie says they are two ups on the handballs. Ah, hold on. Now, this is good. I like this. Ollie, this is some tremendous stuff. VAR officials admit mistake over Moussa Djenepo's handball. Now, if you remember when we played there, this was I think this was Kike Sanchez Flores' second tenure, his last game, wasn't it, where we lost 2-1. And they said that VAR got that wrong. Oh, Ollie, not often a long form gets one of those, but that's tremendous. Cry in a minute, says Charlie Pod. Lawrence says the added time was more valuable to Southampton than Watford. It was not equal, as Alan suggests, because Southampton had 33% more recovery time from midweek games. Well, that was interesting, because that was one of the things that Tom had said in his interview. He'd said, yes, they've had a day more than us to recover, but I'm not interested in excuses. I'm interested in solutions. Those solutions have to go all the way till the final whistle. But Lawrence Lozahornet, great comment, great point. Thank you for that. Ewan Purchard says, Ron, mate, you live in Florida, haven't been to a Watford game in years probably, and you seem to know everything about the club. Okay, if anybody doesn't know, Ron has stated before, but you may not have heard him since he last quoted it, that he's gone to around 1,000 matches before he moved away to or emigrated to the US. And I kind of apologies to your window. I didn't mean to shout over you, but I think it's really important that the people who aren't at the game, their opinion also matters. It's a comment and it's opinion. It doesn't have to be, we're not sitting here saying, I have won, you have lost. These are differing opinions. That's all that is. TJ says 9 subs was 4.5 minutes added time. Not sure about the rest. Nicely done. Nicely done. And of course, TJ, and that's my point about, did the instances of subs, because we made 3 at one point, does that cut it down further? Really interested. Good stuff. Watford Limerick says, I'm accepting no ifs and no buts. That was really the coolest of cuts. For the Hornets to fall to what looked like handball, and sometimes football's a kick in the nuts. Very good. Ishmael Coney had a bad performance, saved by a good goal. I agree. Jesse Hornet, keep your knickers on, Greg. I don't know if Greg was wearing knickers. He may have been going commando. And if that thought doesn't see us finish, I don't know what does. Lewis is even fucking worse than Backman, says you were bastard squared, says Six. Snowboy says, what is up with the signal? I'm sorry. Sometimes it just, there's various things that happen at Twitter. Charlie Pod basically responds, that's all I'll say. I mean, he's so fucking shit, says Ewan Purchard. Look, let's bring this to a close. Thank you as ever for all the people who stick their head above the parapet and come on and say stuff. Otherwise, we don't have what we loosely call a show. The idea is just to basically give all supporters an opportunity to come on and put their point across. The fact that we will get into, especially after a game like that, where emotions are high and we'll get into, well, my opinion is worth more than yours, or vice versa, or I don't agree with somebody, or I don't. This only happens because those people are brave enough to stick their heads above the parapet and put their voices in. If they don't, there's nothing there. If you want to disagree with somebody's opinion, obviously social media is the place to come. We try not to make that this place. We like it to be, you are entitled to have your opinion. The only thing that I increasingly ask is, don't get so het up that somebody disagrees with you, because that is the way of things. We look at the situation. We have basically lost that unbeaten run from Tom. It was previously, he had been unbeaten in what, 5 games? It's now, as Ron put it, he's only won 1 in 6 games. That's the way stats work. However, prior to that, we'd won only 1 game in 10 games, and we'd lost 6 of those, and we hadn't performed. So the improvement, I think a lot of people are seeing. Other people are still questioning about it, and that's good. And there's other names in there. The lad who's at Lincoln is doing a fine job by all accounts. When did Watford ever bring in a manager from Lincoln who did anything? Oh, yeah, that time. It doesn't really matter. It's just what we think. It's been a bitter pill to have to take right at the end of an undoubted roller coaster ride. It is what it is. We move on to next week. Now, we've got 2 home games. The home form has been unquestioned miserable. We haven't done nearly enough. This is Tom's opportunity with 2 games in a row after what was, let's face it, a baptism of fire of those first 6 games that we had. Don't forget, Leeds, West Brom, Preston, Ipswich, and today Southampton, who are all gunning for the playoffs. We hit Hull, we hit Sunderland, and we hit Middlesbrough. Let's see what we can bring out for those. The first 2 of those are at home. Let's see if you're able to get down to the bunker. As we heard, people are coming down before the game next week. Please do. We'll be at the bunker from about 1:30 onward. And it's just a nice place for people to come down and have a chat about Watford. You don't have to agree. You don't have to disagree. You don't have to be anywhere in between. It really doesn't matter. Anyway, so far, everything that Tom has said and has tried to do, I think he's come across exceedingly well. He has come across exceedingly well. And today we were so close to a very good comeback. And there will be people who would have pointed out the fact that even if we had not lost today, it would have still only been 1 in 6. It's fair enough. These are opinions. These are the points that people are noting and having. Well, that's actually a fact. But the opinion as to whether or not it's a good or a bad thing, yeah, that's an opinion. There we go. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for staying with us. Apologies for the fun and games that we get sometimes with Elon Musk's Twitter. But there you go. Good night, all. Come on, you ones.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around, you got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.